You ready, Ramona?
Yep, we're ready for you, Chairmember Campbell.
Good morning and welcome to the February 11th, 2021 meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission. And again, welcome, Alex, our new District 1 Commissioner. Roll call, please, Ramona.
Commissioner Villicana?
Present.
Commissioner Moultari?
Here.
Commissioner Spearman?
Here.
And Chairman Campbell?
Here. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States,
of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I'm going to announce at this time, particularly for the public to listen to, about the meeting protocols under our Zoom situation. So good morning, everyone. The County Planning Commissioners, planning staff, and members of the public wishing to provide live public comment are participating in this meeting using Zoom. Alternate methods for public participation can be found attached to the agenda, as well as a link to a Zoom user guide for public participation. The public may watch or listen to the meeting live online at www.slocounty.cagov. If you are a member of the public wishing to provide live public comment and have joined us by website or smartphone application, when I call for public comment on a specific item, please do so by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen. If you are joining us by phone, please press star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, the clerk will unmute your connection, announce your name, or the last three digits of your phone number if you're calling in, and let you know that you are live online to make your comments. You will be timed our 30 minutes as usual. If you are streaming the meeting through Channel 21 or the county website and wish to provide live public comment through Zoom, please log in or call in early, as there is an approximate 60-second delay between the meeting and the live stream. Please remember to turn down your broadcast volume when speaking during public comment to reduce interference and feedback noise. At this point in time, I will open public comment for items that are not on today's agenda. Staff, do we have anyone standing by for that?
Thank you, Chair Campbell. No pre-recorded messages were received for general public comment. However, members of the public that wish to speak can request by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 at this time. And, Chair, I am seeing no requests to speak.
All right. Seeing no one interested in speaking on public comment, I will close public comment and open up for our regular commission business.
And Mr. Chairman, before we get into that business, I would just like to echo your welcome to our new commissioner, Alex Villicana. And maybe we could have a brief comments from him on his embarking on this adventure here with us.
Good idea, Michael. Thanks.
Well, thank you. I look forward to working with all of you. It's, I've been now in the county for actually 30 years. Technically, I started working here in the early 90s, opened our winery in 2001 here on the west side of Paso Robles on Adelaida Road. The timing for this was actually very fortuitous. My second child actually just left for college in the middle of this pandemic in August, back to Clemson in South Carolina. And so it freed up a little bit of time for me. And so when Supervisor Pichon reached out and asked if I would take up this opportunity, just to get somebody from kind of the winery as well as our distillery side, just kind of with my background, it was actually a good time to kind of step up and see if I could help at all. And so I look forward to working with you all. I'll probably be a little quiet these first few meetings just to kind of get an understanding and a lay of the land. And hope you don't mind if I ask some questions that don't seem to make sense, but I think I'll get the hang of it. So anyway, I look forward to working with you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. And Michael, you've made a good point here in this, and I think we'll follow through and listen a little bit about Christina has about her background. Would you mind, Christina?
Well, thank you. Alex and I probably have something in common, which is our kids, except mine is in first grade and in eighth grade. I'm a little bit different situation, Alex. But congratulations on one getting out of the nest and going to college. So I have my background is actually in government. So started in the military, and then moved through different branches of government. Worked for three presidential administrations, and then for a U.S. senator before coming here to this beautiful area that my husband and I call home. My husband is a interventional radiologist, so he does vascular work here, and we're raising our kids here, and we love it, and we're here located in Avila. So just very happy to be able to serve.
Great. Thank you both. We're on our way to filling up all the chairs. One more to go, huh? All right. May we have, at this point in time, a planning staff updates?
Good morning, Chair Campbell and Commissioners. Alexandra Fowler, representing the Planning and Building Department. I'll start with the following summary of recent and or pending Board of Supervisors actions that pertain to your commission. On February 9th, the Board of Supervisors denied the appeal of DRC 2018-00036 and upheld your commission's September 26, 2019 approval. The project received a conditional use permit for outdoor and indoor cannabis cultivation, a non-storefront dispensary, and a modification of the required number of parking spaces. The project is located at 13350 River Road in the community of San Miguel. Upcoming on March 2nd, the Board of Supervisors will consider the following appeals of actions by your commission. They will consider appeal 2020-00002 of DRC 2017-00075, which is the Flying Caballos project. The Planning Commission approved that project on February 27th, 2020. And the project is to allow temporary events at 1150 Farmhouse Lane, just east of the city of San Luis Obispo. The second appeal item on that agenda will be Appeal 2020-00020 of DRC 2019-00070, and that's the Kyler Canyon project. The Planning Commission approved that project and it is a winery project, a winery processing facility located at 1535 Kyler Canyon Road, just west of the city of Paso Robles. Regarding upcoming hearing items for your commission, on February 25th, the following item has been scheduled: a minor use permit and coastal development permit and variance for a lot line adjustment between two parcels, designation of a building envelope for each parcel, a minor use permit for the construction of two single family residences, and a variance for grading on a portion of a driveway on slopes over 30%. This project is located on the southwest side of Cabrillo Highway, which is also known as State Route 1, and it is northwest of the community of Cayucas. And for your March 11th meeting, the following two items have been scheduled. The first is a conditional use permit to construct a new wireless facility consisting of a 70-foot monopine faux tree with associated antennas and equipment. That project is located at 1070 Ladera Lane, just south of the city of Paso Robles. And the last item is a development plan and coastal development permit to construct a three-story, 17-unit hotel with on-site public amenities for passive and active recreational activities and modification to reduce the number of required parking spaces. That particular project is located on the south side of North Ocean Avenue in the community of Cayucas. This concludes staff's update.
Thank you. Any further questions of Alexandria on that report? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 3, 4, and 5 of our calendar, agenda, I should say. And these are the consent items. Is there anyone that wishes to remove any particular item from the consent agenda for further discussion?
No, sir.
Does any members of the public wishing to comment on the consent calendar to use the raised hand use the raised hand feature on the bottom of their screen or by pressing 9? If they're joining us by phone at this time, in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of the hearing, please be aware. Any discussion on consent item 3, please?
Chair Campbell, John from County Council's office, I do want to just mention, I know some of the commissioners here weren't on the commission at the time that these meetings took place. Nevertheless, you're still authorized to take action on them. Obviously, it probably wouldn't make sense to change them because you weren't there, but you can make a decision to decide that these are the correct minutes of this body. So I just wanted to clarify that for the new commissioners.
That's good. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, if there's no corrections to any of the minutes, I'd move approval of the consent calendar.
And I second that motion.
The motion is second to approve the consent calendar. Any further discussion? Roll call, please, Ramona.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes.
And Chairman Campbell?
Yes. Motion is passed then, and we'll move on to public hearings. Ramona, would you please introduce the first item?
Hearing item number 6 is a hearing to consider a request by the County of San Luis Obispo Public Works Department for a development plan coastal development permit. County file number DRC 2020-00149, Supervisorial District 3, Young Choi, Project Manager. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or press *9 if you are joining us by phone at this time in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of the hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Mr. Choi.
Thank you, Ramona. Good morning, Chairman Campbell and the members of Planning Commission, and welcome, Commissioner Villacana and Commissioner Spearman. I really look forward to working with you all. I will start my presentation, and we'll go through our project today.
It's all done.
Right, so this project is a request by County of San Luis Obispo Public Works Department for a development plan and coastal development plan of DRC 2020-00149. This project is to construct improvements at the Avila Beach Drive and Highway 101 interchange, and we have three big points of this project. The first is the roundabout at the Highway 101 southbound ramp intersection of the Avila Beach Drive and Shell Beach Road, and modifications to the existing Highway 101 northbound off-ramp, and construction of park and ride lot located at the south west corner of the Avila Beach Drive, Shell Beach Road intersection. Approximately 3.4 acres will be converted to permanent hardscape improvements, which most of them are the park and ride lot. There will be a total of disturbance of 5.6 acres, all within the county right-of-way and the Caltrans right-of-way. So, as mentioned, this project is located just north of City of Pismo Beach on Highway 101 and Avila Beach Drive. This red shows you the project site and the area. So this is our land use category. Please excuse the proposed fiber line. This is a project project area. So to the west, we have agriculture and rural lands. And to the south, the city of Gizmo Beach. And to the west, we have both recreation and rural lands land use category. And this is the aerial view of the project site. As mentioned, the red outline is the project area for this project. So we've superimposed the project plans onto the project area. You can see the main point is the roundabout right there. And I have the next few slides will be about the detailed drawings of the project. So to give you a little project background, this project is to improve the Avila Beach Drive and Highway 101 interchange, north and southbound ramp intersection. The main point is to address traffic operational safety deficiency and to improve multimodal access. Currently, this is operating at a level of service F during the PM, so afternoon traffic times. And the three-year fatality and the injury rate for the southbound off-ramp is above the average for the state. So this project will address forecasted future operational deficiency and the interchange and existing safety deficiency. So to clarify, this proposed project does not include the trail or the trailhead for the future Ontario Ridge Trail. Rather, Public Works Department has been working with County Parks Department to study the use of the proposed park and ride lot for additional connectivity option to allow for a future formal trailhead opportunity to also include additional amenity. Again, future trail improvements and the trailhead improvements will be as part of a separate project by the County Parks Department, and we hope that we'll be back here again very soon to include this project at a later time. So this is the overview of the site plan. This right here is the US 101 right-of-way, and this is the Avila camping area. So this is the Avila Beach Drive, and this lower part is a proposed park and ride lot. And this is the additional detailed drawing of the park and ride lot with the different parking spaces. And this will be the roundabout. So this right here is going to the west of Avila Beach Drive to the community of Avila Beach. This is the southbound off-ramp. Again, this area is where the park and ride lot would be. And this to the south is connecting to the Shell Beach Drive. And to the east will be the north off-ramp and on-ramp for the Avila Beach Drive at Highway 101. This is the northbound off and on-ramp, Monty Road right here and Avila Beach Drive. And I would just make sure that the north arrow is pointing the other way. However, this is going south of the roundabout connecting to Shell Beach Road to the community, to the city of Gizmo Beach. I include additional details about the roundabout with the proposed safety signages and crosswalks. And for the next few slides, I'll be going over our coastal zone land use ordinance and how this project complies with our land use ordinance. So our section, Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance Section 2305110, is relating to the road and bridge design and construction maintenance. This ordinance requires that the road and bridge design take consideration of the contour slopes to blend in with the natural topography, to replant grady areas with native vegetations, and to also include pollution prevention procedure in operational and maintenance of the road. So the Public Works Department had studied multiple different options and design for this proposed project, and the current project, current design was chosen because it involves the least amount of grading disturbance, which minimizes the most sensitive habitat area, and all restoration measures are included for graded and affected areas, which requires to be planted with native vegetation and oak trees, and monitoring of these new vegetation to ensure that these replanting of this vegetation is still alive after 3 years, or 75%. The second coastal zone land use ordinance compliance portion is the grading portion of this project. This project will, again, introduce 3.4 acres of hardscape and 5.6 acres of site disturbance. So our grading ordinance requires to minimize hazards to life and property, to protect, again, erosion and sedimentation of water courses, and to protect the safety and use and stability of public right-of-way and drainage channels. And as mentioned in the earlier slide, the proposed project involves the least amount of grading and disturbance, which also minimizes the sensitive habitats. The project conditioned to use best management practice, which includes a pre-grading, pre-construction grading, and construction activities that include monitoring and to prevent against erosion and sedimentation of water courses. So the environmental determination, a mitigated negative declaration has been prepared, which addresses aesthetic, air quality, biological resources, cultural resources, transportation, public services, and water quality. So this mitigated negative declaration has been adopted by our Board of Supervisors on April 21st of 2020. And since that, no change has been made. So one of our recommendations is to rely on this environmental determination for this project. So for aesthetics, some of the mitigation measures include designing the retaining walls to be aesthetically pleasing, lighting and signage plans, landscape plans, and protection of existing vegetables as much as possible. And those are also added in condition of aesthetic one through aesthetic four. For air quality, these measures include best management practice and dust control measures. These measures are included also in our conditions of approval from Air Quality 1 through Air Quality 16. For biological resources, all pre-construction measure, minimization of any impacts, and environmental education programs for all construction workers, and removal of invasive species and replanting with native cultivars and oak tree has been included as a part of conditions approval, and these relate to Bio 1 through Bio 14. For cultural resources, the condition requires education for all workers, and if there are any findings on the ground, the notification to the county is required as soon as possible. And for transportation and utilities, it requires that the Public Works, the applicant, coordinate with utility companies and Caltrans and also provide traffic management during the construction of this roundabout improvement. Lastly, for the water quality, Public Works is required to prepare a stormwater pollution prevention plan, which will protect against the erosion and sedimentation of this project, as well as any stormwater runoff that may happen during the construction and to the finish of the project. Staff have received some correspondence from our agency and advisory council, and I would like to go over some of their concern and how we could mitigate the concerns of these agencies. So our Avila Valley Advisory Council had concerns with the color and materials. Our Public Works Department, starting with the initial design phase, has been working closely with our AVAC for color and material selection. During the deliberation of Avila Valley Advisory Council, they had expressed that they would prefer compost color and khaki color and either a masonry or natural texture for the textural. And the Public Works Department has agreed to utilize the compost color and natural texture as requested by the Avila Valley Advisory Council. And the county staff is requesting to modify our condition number two to reflect these compost color and natural texture for the final plan submitted to our department. to show you the design simulation that was provided to the Avila Valley Council, as well as the design and the color, texture and the color option. I've put a red box around the ones that will be utilized, which is a natural texture and the compost color here. We also received the correspondence from our Coastal Commission. They have concern with the public access and public trails and some safety. However, as mentioned in the earlier slide, there are crosswalks and a safety signage as proposed within the design. So for the public access and for public trails, the access to trail to the current existing Ontario Ridge Trail would remain the same. And the pedestrian access to this area from the crosswalk and sidewalk actually would be increased by this proposed project. The County Parks Department is looking into potentially creating a trail from this park and ride lot. However, that is not part of the scope of this proposed project. Public Works Department continues to coordinate with our County Parks Department regarding the Ontario Ridge Trail. And Public Works Department is actively working with our County Parks Department for the future use of this park and ride lot for the potential trailhead for the Ontario Ridge Trail. As mentioned again, that Ontario Ridge Trail trailhead and the amenity would be a separate project by the County Parks Department. So understanding that, the county staff is also proposing to add a language to consider the future use of the park and ride lot to include and to consider spaces for the trailhead, and amenities for it. To show you just the existing trail and the ownership and where the parking lot would be, the County Parks Department is looking and asking, is still trying to receive easements from all these different properties. So far, the green represents what the park ownership is, and there are blue and the yellow dotted lines. Yellow dotted lines are currently actively working with our Parks Department for the trail easement. And as you can see on the very right, those right-of-way, since it is a county-owned, no easement would be necessary. And the future parking or the parking, those park and ride lot is located right here where potentially the new trailhead could go in. Staff also received additional correspondence from Public Works Department requesting for additional timeline, time frame for the land use approval. So the Public Works Department is requesting additional time frame to the land use permit to allow for additional time for coordination of final design components and to secure funding for the construction phase of this project. So with that, staff is also proposing to amend the Condition 50 to allow for up to 48 months of the land use permit vesting time from the 24 months. So I am sharing our, as I mentioned, staff is proposing some revision to the condition. So our condition number two, staff is proposing to add the language plan also shall reflect color materials with compost color and natural texture. And also, in addition, a design of park and ride lot shall not preclude possible future trail connection point and trail amenities for the Ontario Ridge Trail. And our last condition, number 50, we are extending the time frame from 24 months to 48 months to allow for additional time frame for Public Works Department to secure funding and to coordinate the design with Caltrans and any other agencies. With that, it is the staff recommendation to consider and rely on the previously approved mitigated negative declaration in accordance with CEQA, and to approve Development Plan, Coastal Development Plan, DRC 2020-00149, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the revised conditions listed in Exhibit B. County staff is here to answer any of your questions, and we also have our Public Works Department and the County Parks Department should you have any questions relating to the department. Thank you very much.
All right. Are there any questions of this staff report?
Mr. Chairman, I have just a couple quick ones, please.
Yes.
Thank you for the report, Young, and appreciate that you guys made amendments to the conditions to address the correspondence that came in, and particularly AVAX and the Coastal Commission. Just a couple of questions to clarify in my own mind. The existing site has obviously some kind of drainage that goes through it. And in the plan, I just wanted to understand this. There's going to be some drop inlets, and then it goes into a stormwater conveyance, and then to some infiltration field, which I guess is underneath the parking area. Is that? Did I get that right, or can someone just explain that to me? I'm sure it's well designed. I just wanted to be clear.
Staff would defer that question to our Public Works Department, who has more expertise and knowledge and the design of the proposed parking lot regarding the stormwater. But yes, the stormwater is one of the big areas that would be improved as part of this project.
So J.R. Beard, Public Works. So we have Genaro Diaz, who's the project manager for this project. So we could have him jump in and answer your specific question, Commissioner Moltari.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning, Genaro Diaz, Public Works. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Any further questions?
Well, he's going to answer my question, John. Go ahead, Mr. Diaz, go ahead.
Yeah, so a little bit about the drainage. This project does propose to capture any additional drainage that it creates. There is existing culverts and inlets at that park and ride area, and the project does propose to put an underground infiltration system to mitigate for whatever it creates, right? I do want to point out that the plans shown in the presentation are roughly about 50% design.
Okay.
So there's more exploration to be done for utilities and also for the infiltration of that ground area so that we can propose the underground infiltration system.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I have another just quick question on with regard to the lighting. Reading the project description, is the lighting's not permanent, right? It's just going to be used during construction. Is that correct?
Some of the lighting would be permanent. However, it's conditioned so that they are all down shielding, and it's shielded up from any seeing from the above. So it requires to be meet. The lighting plan has to be reviewed by the Planning and Building Department during the final construction permit, and staff will look at the lighting plans to make sure they comply with the county lighting standards.
And then just one last question with regard to the trail, and I appreciate that this is a separate project from the one before us today, and I think that makes perfect sense. But I'm just curious, there is that existing trail that comes from kind of that informal parking area that goes up where it connects, where it goes up the very steep part of the hill by the freeway. So that's county right-of-way?
That area is a county right-of-way and a Caltrans right-of-way. I think it's a mix of a little bit both. The existing informal little dirt lot is a county right-of-way, and some of those, that super steep that you see from the freeway, I believe may be part of Caltrans right-of-way, and some are also within county right-of-way as well. And we have Sean from Park Department to further clarify my answer as well.
Sure. Okay. Good morning, Sean Cooper here from County Parks. And that the existing route that comes down that steep bank, Young is correct, it does cross through Caltrans right-of-way or Public Works. I think it's kind of a joint right-of-way there between County Public Works and Caltrans. And then part of it does go across the Bluffs HOA property that goes behind those houses that are along El Portal. So the creation of the trail connection to this park and ride lot would take that steep portion away and redirect it down toward the new park and ride lot, which some with more gradual switchbacks rather than coming down that steep grade behind those houses along El Portal. So it would kind of address that problem of erosion coming down that hill.
Yeah.
And it would hopefully address the parking issues that happen along El Portal where people park over there to go up the hill from that point, and it would redirect parking over to a designated parking lot.
So the trail that's there now is just an informal one that people have put together. It's not something that's maintained by the county in any way.
Correct. It's just a kind of a volunteer trail that people have created by use. It doesn't follow any easements, and it's not maintained by
It's clearly not maintained. It's really a mess back there. It's actually terrible. And then that trail, I'm glad that you guys will make the trail better, because I was just out there yesterday just to double check, and sure enough, two people slipped while climbing up that hillside, which is really common. So it really needs improvement before we really encourage more public access, in my opinion. But okay, thank you. That answers my question.
Further comment?
Yes.
Christina.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to, since this does fall in District 3, and I wanted to address a couple of key points. First of all, the trail is being used and has been used for quite a period of time, and it does get a lot of use. And for those reasons, I was a little bit surprised when I read the background that according to the coastal plan policies, both the shoreline access and recreation and visitor serving was not addressed, and that coordination with Public Works was not done on the project prior to recently. So when the project was being put together, that was not coordinated. So I think that what I'm trying to say here is that this project, even though it is separate, and I understand that, it does encompass this trail, and it encompasses it when we're looking at taxpayer dollars being spent on this public works project. I do think it's important that we take a look at the future use of that land. And currently it is being used as the primary trailhead for Ontario Ridge. So those considerations need to be placed in this project under conditions. Now, Young, you mentioned that, but the question I have is the short-term and long-term for this project in terms of Ontario Ridge Trail access. The first point would be, how will safety and security be maintained for people who want to use the trail during a two-year construction project? And then the second one would be, since infrastructure is being built on this project now, you know, those considerations from Parks and Rec, whether that be the ability to have a water fountain there or the ability to ensure that where the parking places are put do not get in the way of pedestrians who are trying to get to the trailhead. As the plan currently exists, it does. So how do you ensure that you're thinking forward so that the plan for the park and ride addresses all the parking issues that may be needed for the Ontario Ridge Trailhead, has the facilities for the Ontario Ridge Trailhead, has the water access for the Ontario Trailhead? All these things, I do not believe, have been considered significantly because of the lack of involvement of Parks and Rec from the beginning of the project. Now, I appreciate that Sean is here now, but I would want to ensure that those needs are clearly annotated into the conditions, so we do not spend a great amount of tax dollars on this project and then have to come back and tear up what we did in order to meet the needs of that trailhead later. The other consideration, I think, is something that Commissioner Mulleri brought up as well, which is the stormwater runoff. And if Mr. Diaz, I understand you're at 50% completion of this plan, but after, where will the water be going when it overflows the retention pond or the retention area that is planned? Do you think, Mr.
Nero, would you please respond to Ms. Spearman's concern about the stormwater?
Sure. I hear two comments. One, stormwater. Again, the current 50% level design is proposing to capture any additional increase of runoff, meaning when this project gets constructed years from now, the project proposed will not create any additional runoff. And whatever, when a heavy rain happens and it fills up the underground infiltration system, the amount released will not be any more than it currently is.
Okay, Mr. Diaz, thank you. I appreciate that. But as you well know, there is the stormwater runoff between when you're going down Avila Drive to Ontario, it pools and floods there. So I wanted to make sure that in your design, you are thinking through when that does overflow, where is that going, especially since that is a water source, is a water basin in terms of access for this area. So that's something I wanted to make sure that was thought through in the process. So on to Public Works. Mr. Diaz, this project, the budget for the project, and the components to it in terms of federal, state, and local support. Can you give us the budget for the project and the composition of monies?
Yes. So I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I can generally just mention that because this project does touch the U.S. 101, it does follow and is required to follow the Caltrans development process, meaning to put things into perspective, the scoping phase was completed in 2016. The environmental document phase was completed in 2020. The final design, again, from 50% to 100 contract ready, is anticipated around 2023.
Okay.
And there is zero funding for construction at the moment. So the funding as in general is coming from state and federal funds. Some of it funneled through SLOCOG and others funneled through the state.
Thank you, Mr. Diaz. So in terms of a timeline, until you receive the end portion for your construction, you're really looking at a long-term project that could start as late as 2023. Did I understand that correctly?
It could start as early as 2023.
As early. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Diaz. So I just wanted to just kind of draw the framework that we do have some time here, don't we, in terms of looking at when construction would actually occur to ensure that we're doing this project correctly and incorporating all these various aspects. Now, if I could go to Mr. Cooper from Parks and Rec, when you're looking at the trail and attaining those easements, you're really looking at within the next 2 years. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we're looking at a similar timeline where these timelines interconnect. Is that not correct, Mr. Diaz, if you're looking at 2023 start date and Mr. Cooper, you're looking at within the next 2 years? Okay. So really, it would be very prudent of us, would it not, to ensure that all this infrastructure that both Parks and Rec may need from a county perspective and Public Works is doing from a county perspective are incorporated. Is that not correct, gentlemen? Mr. Cooper, would you agree? Mr. Diaz, would you agree?
That is correct.
Okay, great.
And Hanara, we have a meeting set up, I think it's next week, with Parks Public Works and the design consultant to talk through, with the 50% plans in play, to talk about how the trail connection could be incorporated and site amenities. So I think it's set up for next week that we'll be having that virtual meeting.
Great. So at the end of the day, gentlemen, you can get together, you can ensure that Parks and Rec's needs are met, that the infrastructure that is needed for Parks and Rec is put into the design concept and the plan concept of this project. So we don't have to do this twice, right, Mr. Diaz? We don't want to be infrastructure that we might need. We don't want to get back in there and have to dig it up again at taxpayer dollars, do we?
I am the first one to say we don't want to do it twice. So that is the hurdle, the hardest hurdle is going through the Caltrans process. That was done in 2020. Now that we have a tentative look at what this is going to look like, now it's the fine-tuning of everything. So that's the intent between now and 2023.
Okay, Mr. Diaz, thank you. So in terms of some fine-tuning, we talked a little bit about the AVAC concerns in terms of the visual aspect. We are looking at the construction of this large holding wall, right, where they said, hey, we would like to see it a certain color and a certain texture. But I think if you really looked at their correspondence, they felt like they hadn't really seen what that texture and what that color is going to look like to make that decision. Is there a way that we can also work a little bit closer with them and make sure they have clarity in terms of what that will look like and that meets the needs? That is a very large concrete structure, and I think it would make quite the impact, and I'm sure they would want that done right, because I don't think you'll be doing that one again either, will you, Mr. Diaz?
Yes, we've been in very close coordination with AVAC and all the business owners in that area, and the intent is as we enter this final design, we will reach out to them as we have in the past to make sure we get something the public is agreeable to.
Okay, thank you. And then I really commend your use of the native vegetation. But I was curious, is there an irrigation plan with that, Mr. Choi, in terms of ensuring that that native vegetation takes and is successful?
Hanera may be able to speak more about the irrigation plan. However, it is conditioned in that these plants, after we planted, survive. So there would be either an irrigation plan or some type of watering plan for the plants to ensure the survival of these plants.
Thank you, Mr. Choi. When I did read the conditions, I did not see any metrics for the plants. I saw that there was a 3-year monitoring program, but I did not see that there would be a 75% success rate or an 85% success rate for the native plantings. Will that be included?
Yes, if the commission would like to amend the condition, staff is more than happy and ready to change the condition to include those percentage succession rate.
Great. I just thought it was important that we have actual measurements to show that these plants are going to survive versus just a monitoring program for 3 years with no metric end. Does that make sense to you?
Well, is it 100%? Or is it, well, first of all, we haven't had the public hearing yet. I wonder if we should pause our questions and comments and see if there's anybody who wants to provide public input and then resume our commission discussion.
Good suggestion. Any other short questions before we open public comment? Then I will open public comment. Staff, if you have anybody on deck here.
Thank you, Chair Campbell. We did not receive pre-recorded messages for this item. However, members of the public wishing to speak on this item can do so by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing *9. And no members of the public in attendance are requesting to speak, Chair.
Seeing that, noting that, we can go on with the discussion here. Commissioner Moltari, did you have the floor at that time?
Well, I was just following up to Commissioner Spearman's comment that is the monitoring, is there a percentage or is it intended to be 100% that anything that dies within 3 years is supposed to be replaced? Because this is kind of a standard condition that we put in there, I think.
So to answer that question, Commissioner Moltari, the county planning department usually does the metric of either a 75 to 80% succession.
Okay.
Currently, the condition is written that it's either a minimum of 3 years to be overseen for the period of 3 years for the monitoring and the implementation of the replanting by a qualified biologist or by a qualified landscape architect. So with that, in addition to that, our county public works department also maintains a great nursery and also on staff biologists and, to ensure the replanting succession and the 3 year monitoring for that. And as I mentioned, if the commission would like to add some sort of metric to this condition, staff is ready to make any amendment that you would.
Thank
you. Further questions?
Yeah, one other question. When looking at the landscape plan, Young, when I noticed the composition of plants, there was, besides the prostate coyote bush, which is fine, but the other coyote bush that you had, because of the high fire risk we have in that area, and as you remember, the Avila fire was right across the street, that coyote bush, as it grows and becomes woody and also contains oils, is it ignites with fire. I would really recommend that we also consider other native plants that may not have that ignition capability in terms of fire. So that's the one plant I saw on the landscape plan that I thought did not fit.
Further discussion? I myself then, I'm very confused, and I'm not, this is a good plan, everything about it looks nice, but I'm very confused as to why we're here. I don't remember something like this coming to us with the Vineyard Drive and Highway 46 roundabout that's under construction now. There's been many more deaths at the Highway 46 and 41 intersection that Caltrans keeps saying they're going to do something about. Why are we bringing this up and spending taxpayer money? Because the gorilla in the room is Caltrans. We're acting as if we approve this in 2 years, 2021-3, we're going to start building this, and like I say, the gorilla in the room is Caltrans. So shouldn't they be initiating this and we piggyback on with them rather than spending all our efforts coming up with all this stuff, including the color of the concrete, when we haven't heard a word from the people that own the, have the right-of-ways on the highway? Can somebody explain that to me?
It's gone through the Caltrans review, I think, hasn't it?
And yes, it has. Do they have this on their agenda? Is, I guess, what I'm talking about. Do they have it planned and funded and et cetera, et cetera? This seems to me we're putting the cart way before the horse when there's so many other projects that they've been talking about fixing and haven't done a thing with.
I can speak to it if you'd like me to.
Sure.
So Caltrans, first off, Caltrans, it's not within Caltrans' foresight or planning efforts to improve the interchange and the local roads. Their focus is the main lane, 101, and they actually do have a project through Pismo. So we're in close coordination. It's a county-led project funded through federal and state funds and with the Caltrans oversight because it does touch the U.S. 101. As far as timing goes, I wish there was a faster way of doing it, but again, we must follow the Caltrans process given that we're touching U.S. 101. And it's not within Caltrans' future planning to do anything on our local roads.
You say the emphasis on the local roads is what's carrying this through. Okay.
That is correct. We, the county, are interested in making sure we provide access to the Avila community for many reasons. And it's our purpose for this project. One of our several, you know, one of our three purposes for this project is to improve the actual interchange there at Avila Beach Drive at southbound U.S. 101.
This isn't a Caltrans funded project, then, and that's probably why we're pushing ahead with it then.
This is not a Caltrans funded
project. The other money's in Caltrans. Okay, that's probably the answer. Thank you. Any other further discussion at this point?
I guess I would just suggest that we not lose sight of the forest for the trees, you know, the big picture for the details. this is an interchange that needs work. It's unsafe. I mean, it's very hard to get through certain times of the day. I've become a real believer in these roundabouts. In Morro Bay, there was a lot of skepticism about the one on Morro Bay Boulevard and Highway 1. And when it was installed, everybody became a believer. It really worked very well. So I think, and the fact of the matter is these things take years and years to get through the process, acquire the funding, and then actually get to construction. So this is just a necessary step in moving this thing along. I think the comments that Commissioner Spearman has suggested are good ones, and that I'm just curious if the adjustment to, was it condition 2, would satisfy her concerns about requiring coordination with Parks and Rec. That would say that that could be, the design can't preclude whatever kinds of trailhead and recreational facilities might be contemplated in this coordination with Public Works.
I think I would be more inclined if the word was include versus preclude. I think okay. That's a big difference.
Before I call for a motion, then I'll ask the commissioners to clarify whether or not they want planning to make any changes in the presentation.
So, Mr. Choi, could you show us the revised conditions again, that slide, please?
Of course. So instead of the same slide, I did make a quick change right here to instead of shall not preclude to shall include. So the condition 2 would read, plan submitted shall show all development consistent with the approved site plan and restoration plan. Plans also shall reflect color material with compost color and natural texture. In addition, design of the park and ride lot shall include possible future trail connection point and trail amenities for the Ontario Ridge Trail.
Okay. And then that works for me. I won't speak for Commissioner Spearman. Can we, before you leave that page, could you go back for a second?
Yes.
And then for the landscape plan, farther down, it's number
6.
Number 6, AES 2. Do we want to put in, I'm pretty comfortable with the way it is, but if Commissioner Spearman would want to put in a threshold of a percentage, maybe we could add that. And it says drought-tolerant native species. Do you want to put in something about, to the extent feasible, fire-resistant species? I don't know if there's such a thing as a native fire-resistant species.
Concrete tree, yeah.
But would you want that condition modified?
Yes. I mean, I think that, you know, going up, if you would please go up to the one that just above before we go to the landscaping plan. There we go. The question I would have here is, on the first point, the plan shall also reflect color materials with compost color and natural texture. Do we feel that I know that Mr. Diaz mentioned that they would also coordinate public comment to ensure that structure would work with the community. So is that enough to address AVAC's concerns and also the community's concerns on how that would look?
You know, my feeling on that would be that staff has been working with AVAC and will continue to work with AVAC, and the kind of minor changes can be done by the staff if it needs to be adjusted, you know, based on those conversations with AVAC. So I don't know that we need to get into more detail, but I would be comfortable with this.
Okay. So just so there's an understanding that that's kind of a still a bit of a work in progress to get them, the community, what they want to see there. And then I do like the verbiage of shall include, and I believe that then Parks and Rec has more flexibility to ensure that they have what they need to make that work. So that makes sense to me. In terms of the landscaping, I do think we do a metric, and there you could, you know, Young, you were mentioning a metric you used before. I just think that needs to be clear so everybody understands what is required. So if we could put a metric in there, and then I think we want to use almost, like you said, there's no way to prevent a fire, but fire mitigated native species, you know, something that, you know, the landscape or the biologist should know what species fit that place and are not only drought tolerant, but have some fire retarded capabilities.
How about a fire-resistant plant palette?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, and you know, there are ample native plants that can fit the bill versus the over 4 foot coyote bush.
Okay. And I do see our public works representative Henaro raising his hand. Would the commission be okay to listen to his any other comments?
Sure.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to provide some input on the paragraph in red at the very top. I don't know if you can scroll to the top so we can look at it together. Yes. So, you know, the color and texture of the wall, that's I think that's enough to make sure Public Works works with AVAC and the community to make sure we're all happy with the outcome when it does get constructed. Given the limited funding currently to carry us through design, I mean, it's razor thin at the moment. Obviously, we will continue to work closely with parks, as we said. But the second sentence that starts with, in addition, design of park and ride lot shall include possible future trail connection point. That's good. But I would like to say, and account for trail amenities for the Ontario Ridge Trail. Because what that does, it would allow us to make sure we consider where these future amenities will be with parks, yet we don't have the budget to have the consultant add the design effort to design whatever they need to design. We want to make sure it's completely a separate project. We just simply want to account for the location and the safety and ADA and everything else.
So the language that you're suggesting is that future trail connection point and account for trail amenities?
Yes.
Yeah.
Commissioner Spearman, is that okay with you?
Mr. Diaz, I understand your point very clearly. When you say account, does that mean that the stub-ups will be put in place and then they come back and put what they need on top of it? I mean, I'm kind of wondering what the scope of account is.
So the way I see it is this park and ride lot, being a 50% design, will be tweaked to make sure we envision where these future trail acts is and properly identify it, and also envision where any of these trail amenities may be, make sure that we provide a proper location and access. But I'm trying to draw the line given, again, the complexities and budgets. To have it be a separate project.
How's that?
Mr. Diaz, that makes a lot of sense to me, and especially since you'll be working so closely with Parks and Rec, I think between the two of you, you guys have come up with a solution that works for the community, correct?
Correct.
With that language. All right. That makes sense.
And so back down to your other concern was with the landscaping plan.
Do you want to add that word in there, Young, just so
we can do that?
Okay.
And
okay.
And Hanero, did you have any comments in regards to the condition number 6, aesthetic 2?
Yes, I think we wanted to put a metric in there, Young, please.
So does the commission have any preference on the metric itself, whether of the percentage? The county planning department has been using about 75% as our normal and consistent metrics that we've applied to different projects.
That would make for consistency.
Okay. Is this something you can do quickly here, or do you need time?
Young, that looks great, but instead of or put and. It's so you're staying on top of the project for 3 years and
minimum 3 years and
yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
That's very reasonable.
Any further corrections to that?
I know that Commissioner Spearman had some comments regarding fire-resistant planting. Is that something that Commission would still like to add to this condition?
I would. Gentlemen, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I would say to the extent feasible.
Yes, that's fair.
And
so drought tolerant.
And to the extent feasible, fire resistant.
Right.
Yes, but Young, put to the extent feasible after native species, so we ensure that native species are the priority, and the secondary is fire resistant. There you go.
Yes, actually.
Thank you.
Okay. Further changes on or additions to this?
No, I just want to say that this is an important step in getting a really important public works project moving forward. So I'm certainly in favor of this project moving on.
And I'd like to agree with you. I think that the safety is the key factor here, and I think we all understand that, but I think ensuring that these items interconnect is equally important when we do this type of a project. So thank you.
Good comments. Do you want to make a motion then, Commissioner Spearman?
I'll accept a motion on this then.
Yes, I would. Thank you. So, would I mention the changes, or how would I do that? It
has changed.
You would say that you would move to consider and rely upon the previously approved mitigated negative deck, and approve the development plan and the coastal development permit based on the findings and the revised conditions. And I think that's it.
Okay, got it. So I make a motion to consider and relay the previous approved mitigation negative declaration in accordance with the applicable provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act Public Resource Code Section 2100 and with the approved changes.
And approve the DRC. And the
DRC number. You want to put that in the motion, please?
Absolutely. With the approved development plan coastal permit, DRC 2020-00149, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the approved and changed conditions listed.
Yeah. Revised.
Yeah. Is there a second to that motion?
I'd second that.
And moved and seconded. May we have a roll call, please, Ramona?
Commissioner Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Villicana?
Yes.
And Chairman Campbell?
Yes. The motion is carried.
Very good.
Moving ahead to our last agenda item, we'll go ahead and introduce it and worry about break time later, is item 7. Would you please introduce that, please, Ramona?
Hearing item 7 is a hearing to consider a request by Golden State Cannabis for a development plan coastal development permit. County file number DRC2020-00146. Project manager Cassidy McSturdy. And if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on this item, please use the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen or by pressing star 9 if you are joining us by phone in order to be ready to be called at the public comment portion of this hearing. Please continue with your presentation, Ms. McSurdy. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Campbell, Planning Commissioners, Cassidy McSurdy, Planning Staff. The item before your commission today is DRC 2020-00146, Development Plan Coastal Development Permit for Golden State Cannabis, Sacklin. The project is to include 1,500 square feet of cannabis delivery, distribution, and non-volatile manufacturing within a single lease space of an existing 12,000 square foot structure. No new structures are proposed. This project is a conditional use permit because it includes vertical integration, so multiple cannabis uses on a single site. And it is located within the coastal appealable zone. The project is accessed from a private road, which takes access from Willow Road. You can see here the surrounding land uses include industrial and residential suburban zoning. It should be noted that the residential suburban located to the east is currently being utilized for agricultural use. And you can see that here with the aerial. Here we have an aerial of the structure itself, and the area in red is the proposed unit, so it is going to be located within Unit C. We have that here showing the other units within that structure, the well on site, parking, and access. And here we have a floor plan showing the different use areas, including the manufacturing, non-storefront retail, distribution, and then other office, circulation, restroom areas. The project was reviewed for compliance with land use ordinance standards for cannabis activities, including location, setbacks, hours of operation, security plan, odor management, and parking. And no modifications are requested. The project was reviewed for an environmental determination under CEQA. It was provided a categorical exemption under a Class 1 existing facilities. With that, staff is recommending approval of Development Plan Coastal Development Permit, DRC 2020-00146, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. Staff is available for any questions you may have.
Any questions, commissioners, of staff?
No, sir.
Seeing none, then I will open public comment. Staff, do we have anybody on deck?
Hi, my name is Lewis Samuel. I am the owner of Golden State Cannabis. I have a little presentation in regards to the project. Is this the right time for that?
Yes, it is, Lewis. Thank you.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you, everybody, for taking the time to listen to our presentation and consider the project. We're really excited about the prospect of getting started in San Luis Obispo County. I will pull up my presentation. You'll give me one sec. Okay. Let's see. Can everybody see this?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'll get this down here. So we are Golden State Canna. Well, the company is called Golden State Cannabis, but doing business as Golden State Canna. And like Ms. McSurdy mentioned, we'll be at 2115 Willow Road in Arroyo Grande, on the southern side of the county. And just a little bit of background about our company mission. We are very customer service oriented. Where our goal is to elevate the mood of our customers, our members, before they even try the product. And our slogan is "Have a dank day." Picture in the top left there is taken at a garden of one of our partner farms in the hills of Mendocino. That's the Santa Barbara coastline. On the top right there is some masks that my mother made for the team right when the pandemic started, with our logo on there. And bottom right there is us at a trade show when those type of things were still in existence. A little bit of history about the company. My original business partner, who now runs our farm up in Mendocino County, he lived across the hall from me in the dorms at UC Santa Cruz in 2012. Upon graduating school, we established a medical collective at the end of the medical era. And then right when legalization came into effect in 2018, we were licensed, him for growing up north, and myself and a couple colleagues for doing delivery and distribution in Alameda County. We received license number 46 in the state of California. So I hopped on it pretty quickly, as that was kind of the obvious path as upon finishing. Our current licensed premises is both for distribution as well as retail, and we are in 196 square feet for those two combined businesses. So as you can imagine, that's really small. It kind of feels like we're operating in a closet here. This is called Room for Growth. What really prompted us to try and move and expand and come and try and find the opportunity to have a little bit more space. This is a picture that was taken earlier this week. That's our chief operations officer right there. And he is pretty packed in there. We're full of product. And so our goal was to seek somewhere where we could get some more space. We're hoping to build a more wholesale presence where we could do delivery and distribution to retailers and wholesalers. And so the 1500 square foot of the proposed project will allow much needed breathing room space for expansion for us. The micro business will also allow us to do a little bit more things in regards to packaging concentrates. So it will give us more control of our own supply chain. And so we're kind of excited to grow as a business and what we have the ability to do. These are our current retail licenses, one for distribution and one for non-storefront delivery. Also, it's retail, but it's delivery only. So by law, it's closed to the public. That is both of these permits, as well as a non-volatile manufacturing permit, are what we're seeking currently in Arroyo Grande. Our top priorities of the project, number one, is compliance. We have a very good standing with all the authorities in Alameda County, as well as everywhere that we serve, because we always take top concern with the local regulations as well as the state regulations. I personally have done all of our licensing, our local and state licensing. We've never hired a consultant. And so I'm very well versed in the state regulations and now the local San Luis Obispo County regulations. The primary difference there being the hours of operation, as well as a few other intricacies that we've incorporated into our project plan. Next is security. Oh, I'm sorry. As far as compliance, of course, our conditions of approval will be taken into top consideration as they relate to traffic, odor mitigation, and any other sort of aspects in which the commission wishes to condition the project. As far as security, that is another top concern for us. So we do have a lighting plan that the police department has, which includes security lighting that's directed downwards We have an alarm. We'll use our existing service, which is ADT, security cameras pointing at every point of access, as well as everywhere in which employees will be handling product and cash. We use non-residential commercial-grade keypads and hollow steel doors for access points. We use safes, and we use metal security rooms in order to partition off the space and allow for full security within. Another top priority of mine specifically is community integration. The company is called Golden State Canna, not NorCal Canna, and we are hoping to really embody what it means to be sort of on the forefront of a California cannabis company, and really stick true to kind of the community-based culture that the industry has had in past decades, while moving into a new era of increased professionalism and compliance with the developing regulations. So we are, I'm interested in getting to know the people in the area. I was fortunate when I sent out our letters, I kind of asked the neighbors that I sent notification to reach out if they would like to get in touch at all. And several people did. And so I already feel like we have a kind of friendly footing, and I'm excited to get more involved in San Luis Obispo County. I know Santa Cruz, Monterey counties very well as Santa Barbara, but this is going to be a great opportunity for us to come and be more active on the Central Coast and get involved in San Luis Obispo County. Our security plan is, these are the type of cameras that we use on the left-hand side here. And these have about a roughly 90 degree field of vision. Some of them are a bit wide angle, so it can get up to 180. We have security lighting directed downwards. This is our video recording software, hardware, and it's also kept per state regulations in a secure box so that it's not able to be removed. Secure self-storage, we use American Security safes, which are the top of the line, and have never had any type of security issue with those. We typically, within these metal security rooms here is where the safes will go, and this is just a double layer of security in order to maximize that, as that's often a top concern of local and state authorities when it comes to licensing, and we do take that very seriously. Only trusted team members with top access will be even needing to go into these storage rooms. And we always seek to exceed the minimum standards that are set out. Minimum standards being 800 pounds for a safe. And all the safes that we use are over 1,000 pounds. I would also like to, in a subsequent conversation, see what the commission thinks about a storage shipping container to be used for this. That's very common on cultivation sites up north in Mendocino County because they have a high degree of security, but I'm not sure what's the view of them here for indoor use. In regards to traffic, there has been a traffic study conducted by one of the early applicants in the building and found that their project was not going to have a negative impact on traffic. Our study has a very similar amount of use, and we will, of course, be fully compliant with our conditions of approval as regards to access, amount of personnel on site, and path of travel. It is going to be important for us to be very clear with our drivers that they need to be very careful as coming back onto Willow Road, which is Highway 1 right here. There is a long approach, as you can see right here, and so does give plenty of time for a safe entrance onto the road. Nevertheless, that's something that we'll be going over should we be approved for the project. Odor mitigation. This is something that everybody finds very important, is always a topic of conversation, and we use only top of the line carbon filter systems. So they look like this. You may also see the same thing like on the side of a truck, on those big exhaust pipes on the trucks are just big versions of these. And this kind of breaks down what it's like on the inside, hollow mesh, a thick layer of carbon filtration, and then an outer edge to make sure that nothing gets blocked on the outside. On the bottom right here, you can see inline fans are what's used to pull the air through, and then the ducting attaches one side to the inline fan and the other side to the carbon filter, and it creates a system where the ducting pulls air through the carbon filter, puts it back out into the room, and the air is then purified with the no odor remaining. We have had a certified industrial hygienist approve our odor mitigation plan for a prior license application, and I'll be happy to provide that upon request. We calculate the volume of the room, and from there, and how often we need the air to be fully purified, which is every 8 minutes. And from there, we are able to determine what size fan and carbon filter we need to get that job done. At that point, I would like to open it up for any questions for me, if any, for whoever would like to know anything else about the project. I'm always happy to talk about it.
Thank you, Lewis. We'll refer back to the Planning Commission for any questions from this point.
Okay.
Commissioners, do you have any questions of the applicant?
Not at this time.
No.
You gave us a nice complete presentation, so I can see that we don't have any. Saying that, we will open for public comment. Staff, what do we have here?
Thank you, Chair Campbell. We did not receive pre-recorded messages for this item. However, members of the public that wish to speak can do so by using the raise hand feature at the bottom of your screen. And we do have one request to speak from Phil Henry. Your line has been unmuted, and you will be limited to 3 minutes, excuse me.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. I appreciate the time here. My name is Phil Henry. I'm a resident of the Black Lake community on the northern side of Como. You may be aware of the geographical situation there. This proposed facility is within close proximity of both the Trilogy and the Black Lake communities, and there's a lot of residential properties along Willow Road. Cannabis has been an issue in the past. There have been some problematic applications. There is a application on Albert Way for a facility, and odor is the number one concern and is the number one complaint by residents. We have had a lot of issues with odor of skunk in the past. Currently, this is not an issue. And so I'm not aware of any recent, within the last year or so, we had a couple of illegal grows that were taken out of commission. And so it's been good. And I'm heartened to see that the applicant, you know, as required by the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance, is making the mitigation steps to do odor mitigation. But I do have a question, if it's relevant, and the applicant's online. I wonder if the company has any processes for public outreach or a contact hotline, for example, if there were perceived issues with odors, that that members of the public, local residents, could get in touch directly on some kind of a dial-in or hotline, or whether any complaints would have to go through the code enforcement process, which exists. And that's my only comment, and thank you for the time.
Yeah, so...
Mr. Lewis, if you may, just you should address the commission, and it looks like just Chair Campbell just rejoined the meeting, so...
Okay, yeah, definitely. Thank you for the comment and just addressing the commission as well as the speaker there. On the letter that I sent out to everybody within 1,000 feet of the site, I included my personal phone number on there, and I would be very happy to disperse that in any way possible to the rest of the community who may be a little bit outside that boundary, just to give me a call or a text in regards to, one, any concerns, you know, if there were to be any issue with the odor or traffic or anything, which there won't be, because we're just since we're required by all the state laws to mitigate that completely. But for anything, you know, anything that somebody would either want us to fix or just want to check in on or even just get some information about, I would definitely hope that people would call me. I will, my phone number, I'll just say here for the record, if anybody ever needs it, is 925-818-0070. And my email address is lcsamuel, as in lemon, Charlie, Samuel, S-A-M-U-E-L, and the number 2@gmail.com. And both of those will be good contact methods for me, and we'll be happy to rectify any issues in the area.
Thank you, Lewis. Do we have any further public comment?
Thank you, Chair Campbell. No additional requests to speak have been received.
I'll ask the staff to comment on any issues during these the one public comment in the presentation.
Thank you, Chair Campbell. Cassidy McSurdy, planning staff. I think it is important to note that this site does not include cannabis cultivation, so I believe some of the issues that the caller mentioned were related to a grow site on Albert Way, and concerns with cannabis odors related to some of the prior cultivation operations under our urgency ordinance that were located within the Napomo area, whereas this site will not have cultivation. It should also be noted that at this location there are other units which do have approved cannabis operations. There are currently two which have been approved by your commission. And we have not received any complaints related to, I believe one of them is currently up and running, that is of similar project description to this operation. So I believe it has non-storefront retail and manufacturing. Otherwise, if your commission has any additional questions for me, please, you know, feel free to ask, and I'm happy to help with those.
Thank you. We'll bring this back to the commission. Any further discussion, comments?
Mm-hmm. It's a good location. There have been similar type uses in the exact same building with no complaints. So I think this is a project that we should approve.
Any further comments from the staff? I will then call for a motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion to move to approve development plan coastal development permit DR 2020-00146 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
Second to that motion?
Second. Let me just check with Cassidy. Do we have to say anything about the categorical exemption in the motion?
This is Steve McMasters. No, the finding for the categorical exemption is embodied in the finding, so it's included.
Thank you. Just checking.
Call for a vote. Rabona, would you please call a roll?
Commissioner Spearman?
Yes.
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Commissioner Villicana?
Yes.
And Chairman Campbell?
Yes. Motion is carried. That ends the hearings for today. I'll entertain a motion to take all testimony and documents into the record.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Good.
And before you leave, I just wanted to, again, thank our new commissioners for volunteering for this work. And Commissioner Spearman, thank you for your helpful comments today.
Oh, thank you.
Good luck, thank Lewis, you with your business.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right.
Bye now.
Thank you all.